Today on Know the Truth, a new lesson from Philip DeCourcy.
Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. One of those issues will be guidance and decision making. Your heart will determine the direction of your feet. Your feet will follow in the paths of your heart. That's why you've got to keep your heart, for out of it will flow the issues of life.
Welcome to Know the Truth. I'm Wayne Shepherd. And today, Philip DeCourcy shares how we can preserve our futures by guarding our hearts. It's a new message titled, A Step in the Right Direction, from our new series, That Makes Good Sense, a study in the book of Proverbs. And if you missed the first few lessons of wisdom in the series, you can catch up anytime online at ktt.org or on the KTT app. Just search for Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy. Right now, let's join Philip for today's message.
The late evening news in April of 1988 carried a story regarding a skydiving photographer who had jumped from an airplane to photograph some skydivers as they fell on formation and then opened their parachutes. The telecast showed the skydivers falling in formation and then the parachutes all opened, and then suddenly the picture on the telecast went blank and black. And the newscast anchor that evening reported that the cameraman who was shooting the footage had actually fallen to his death. Further investigation revealed, can you believe this, that as he reached for his ripcord on the descent, he realized that he had jumped out of the aircraft without a parachute. So intent was he in reaching his goal of filming these skydivers that he neglected himself to do something that was crucial to the saving of his own life. As I read that story, it seemed hard for me initially to believe that anybody could do that. That if we're not careful, we can make a similar mistake. You and I can get so caught up in life and the next thing that we think is going to bring us some kind of fulfillment, success, or significance, that we fail to do those things that will save our lives in the end. Think about this. Every day, you and I face something far riskier than skydiving. Because while our story is about skydiving, it's really about choices. And you and I on any given day face something far riskier than skydiving, and that is choice itself. As rational human beings created in the image of God, you and I have the power and the liberty to choose one path over another, to invest ourselves in one way and disinvest ourselves from other ways. To put it in a very memorable fashion, in a way, every act that you and I do is an act of self-sacrifice. For when we choose anything, we reject automatically everything else. Just as when we marry one woman, we give up on all the others. Choice is that powerful. Choice is that pervasive. It is an act of self-sacrifice. Think about it. When you come to choose something, you're choosing to reject everything else. Choice then is both sacred and scary. It is part of the glory and the terror of being a human being, and it means that you and I can miss life the way one can miss a boat. In fact, that has become part and parcel of our language, hasn't it? He missed the boat. Well, you and I can miss life just as one can miss the boat. And it all depends upon choice. If you think about it, and I want you to think about it, you are, to a large extent, what you have decided to be. I know you're talking about your circumstances and you're talking about the hand you were dealt and what others have done to you. But if you really think about it, you are what you've decided to be. You choose your attitude. You choose the path that you are going to take in life. There might be extenuating circumstances, but at the end of the day, you and I choose who we want to be. You are who you are, where you are, what you were doing, and how you were feeling this morning, and it's because of the accumulated results of your choices, good or bad, ill-timed, or poorly reasoned. That's a powerful thought, because we are the sum of our decisions, and therefore our decisions are vital, critical. Heaven and hell swing in the balance of choice. Truth and error, right and wrong, happiness and misery are all the result of choices. Decision-making determines who and what we are more than any other aspect of our life. I know there are circumstances and you have to deal with others, but more than anything in life, it is you and your decisions that will determine the direction and the depth of your life. When we make our choice turns around and makes us. Every act is an act of self-sacrifice. You are choosing one thing over another. In choosing one thing, you are rejecting everything else. It really doesn't matter, but there are choices you and I make on a daily basis that actually direct the very trajectory of our future. Listen to what C.S. Lewis wrote, quote, "Every time you make a choice, you are turning that central part of you, the part that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. And taking your life as a whole, with all your innumerable choices, you are slowly turning this central thing either into a heavenly creature or into a hellish creature, either into a creature that is in harmony with God or else into one that is in a state of war and antagonism with God." Friends, when we make a choice, we're giving something of ourselves over to that choice, and that choice is going to shape and mold us for good or bad. Skill for living, then, requires an ability to act wisely, doesn't it? And that in itself requires good decision-making, for life is made up of choices, and our choices determine the quality of our lives. But I need to know how to make wise choices, and I know you do, too. And I'm thankful the book of Proverbs is going to help us to do that. We need to make good decisions over bad decisions, and we need to remember that one bad decision can undo a lot of good decisions. That's how powerful and potent choice is. You can spend months making good decisions and on a given day make a bad decision and undo in a day what you've done in months. Let me give you a biblical example. Moses. A solitary act of disobedience dramatically shaped the remaining course of his life. And if you know your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Back in Numbers chapter 20, verses 8 through 12, you have the story of the wilderness wanderings of Israel. And they were thirsty. And so they complained to Moses, and Moses prayed to God, and God said to Moses, "Okay, I want you to go to that rock there, and I want you to speak to it, and that rock's going to become a fountain." And Moses was agitated, angry with the people, a little out of sorts, and he took his staff and he hit the rock twice. He struck it twice, and the water came forth. But God said to Moses, "Okay, Moses, because you didn't hallow my name in the eyes of the people, because you didn't obey me, I told you to speak to the rock, not hit the rock. You're not going to enter the promised land." Folks, it wasn't the striking of the rock. That seems, in a sense, as an act very inconsequential. The striking of the rock was disobedience in regards to God's word, and that had lasting consequences. And here's what you and I need to remind ourselves of. When we are faced with the choice to obey or disregard the commands of the living God, we enter into a moment that is filled with lasting consequences. And some of you are hanging in the balance of choice. And you want to do something, but your conscience doesn't want you to do it, and the Word of God speaks against it, and you are in a moment that is something that holds consequences that are lasting in your life. Choice is powerful and potent, and I need wisdom from a book of wisdom. The road of life will take you to many intersections and crossroads, and it's an inescapable fact of life, and it's part and parcel of our humanity, made in the image of God. We have mind and reason. You and I have got to reason our way through to a choice. It's part of the glory, as I said, and the terror of being a human being. And that is inescapable, and it is determinative. And therefore, I want to say to you that you have got to get ready to make good choices in life. And if you're not ready, then you better be all ears. And that frightens some of us. And some of us are quite indecisive when it comes to making choices. And that can hold up God's blessing in our life. And it certainly can waste precious time. And I want to remind you, should you be fearful and indecisive and you stand at some intersection in your life, that if you don't make a decision, you have made a decision. Not to make a decision is a decision. It's passivity. It's indifference. It's indecision. And that's not a good way to live. Because life rushes on. And life will push us down its path to these intersections, and we have got to be ready to make wise choices. The only thing that arrives at its destination by accident in life is our airline luggage. Everything else has got to be determined. Everything else has got to be determined. You don't live life accidentally. You've got to make wise choices in the will of God. Not to decide in life is to decide against life. We are not puppets. We are men and women made in the image of God who are called upon to make decisions. And I want to remind you, you've got to be ready to make them, or else life will run you over or pass you by. I'll give you an example. It comes from the former President Ronald Reagan. When he was a boy, his aunt took him to a cobbler's shop to purchase him a handmade, hand-sewn pair of shoes. The cobbler asked young Reagan over the counter that day, "Do you want a square toe or a round toe on your shoes, son?" Well, Reagan hemmed and hawed. The cobbler said, "Okay, come back in a day or two and let me know what you think." And a few days went by, and Reagan never really thought much more of it until the cobbler caught him in the street and said, "Young man, have you made up your mind? Square toe, round toe?" And again, Reagan really dilly-dallied and gave the man no answer. And so to his surprise, in a week or two, having not made his mind up, the cobbler called and said, "Your shoes are ready, young man. Come and collect them." And Reagan went to the cobbler's shop. And over the counter was handed a pair of shoes. One had a square toe and one had a round toe. And Ronald Reagan said about that incident in his boyhood, quote, "Looking at those shoes every day taught me a lesson. If you don't make your own decisions, somebody else will make them for you." Not true. You got to make decisions under God and ask God to help you make them, or else life will run you over or pass you by. That's why this admonition here to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths, is so, so critical. So let's come to the book of Proverbs. That was an extended introduction, but I wanted to underscore the critical nature and the influential impact of our decision making. Now, here's a book that in itself is all about choice, because if you remember back to our introduction in the book of Proverbs, this is a book that sets two paths in front of the young men who are emerging into leadership within Israel, the path of wisdom and the path of folly. In fact, the word path and way with its plurals are found over 100 times in this book. Wisdom is a path that you and I need to take in life, and it will help us when we get to the crossroads. Now, there's four things I want to say. I'm going to give the game away up front if you're taking notes. Decision-making, moving in the right direction, requires consecration, consultation, caution, and consideration. It requires consecration. Now, listen, this is vitally important. Guidance begins with who we are, ever before it becomes an issue of what we do. See, I think too quickly we get to, "Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? Is it this or is it that? Is it him? Is it her? Is it that thing? Is it the other thing?" And God says, "Hold on a minute, you've jumped the gun." Wisdom in the area of decision-making reminds us that it's who we are that will determine what we do. And that's why consecration to God, dependence upon God, becoming what God has called us to be, that's where guidance begins. It is the right kind of person who ultimately will do the right kind of thing. You will not do the right kind of thing if you're not the right kind of person. That's why your relationship with God and the development of a godly character and a commitment to God's will are the most important things when it comes to decisions. You see, guidance doesn't begin in some kind of search. I think many Christians have this idea. If I say the will of God, they immediately think of a needle in a haystack. Or they immediately think of some key that's been put under some mat somewhere you got to go and find. And when you find the key, you'll find the will of God. What? That's unbiblical. Guidance doesn't begin in a search for some magic key that will unlock the top secret plan of God for your life. I'll tell you where it begins. It begins with a heart that is wise to the way God wants things done and the way God does things himself. That's what the guidance is all about. That's why Bruce Waltke in his commentary on Proverbs will say this, wisdom in the Old Testament is a character trait. It's not simply thinking soberly. People with wisdom have the character whereby they will make good decisions. That brings me to look at two things quickly here under the idea of consecration. If you and I are going to be consecrated to God and make wise decisions within his will, we will need character and we will need commitment. Character. A good choice is based upon a good character because the one flows out of the other. You understand that? There's a cause and effect. If you and I have a love for what is good, if you and I have a desire for what is godly, and you and I are governed by the Word of God, submitted to the will of God, and being led by the Spirit of God in the company of the people of God, you and I can have a confidence that what we're about to do, God is pleased with. Because we have a heart that loves him and loves the things he loves. That's why character is so important. The best thing you can do with regards to seeking God's guidance is to develop a godly character. What we are will always be the determining factor in what we do. The Bible reminds us that being is always first before doing. God chose David, didn't he? And revealed his will to him because he had a heart after God. And he rejects Saul because his heart had become closed to God. Direction in life is built upon the development of a godly character. Sometimes we get fixated on where we are and what we're doing for God and where we might be. And yet God's more interested in where we are and what we're doing with our lives at that given moment. What we're becoming. Because it's in what we're becoming that the decisions about what we will do will be made and directed. That's why Proverbs says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. One of those issues will be guidance and decision-making. Your heart will determine the direction of your feet. And so I want you to think about this. Guidance is not about your feet, it's about your heart. Your feet will follow in the paths of your heart. That's why you've got to keep your heart, for out of it will flow the issues of life. And when I talk about your heart, I'm not talking about this pound of muscle that pumps blood through the body. I can lay that on a table in some doctor's surgery, but the heart we're talking about is the inner self, the inner being, the essence of who we are. It incorporates our mind, it incorporates our will, it incorporates our desires. Someone has put it like this. The heart is the command and control center of life, the birth canal of our motives, the seat of our affections, and the heart is the center of the conscience. It is truly the place where life makes up its mind. Your heart determines what you do. Your inner traits and your inner thoughts determine your outward actions. Jesus said that he not out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why Jesus won't let you off with that statement, well, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. It came out of your heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart is so vitally important. That's why we're told to keep it with all diligence. What do you think about? What do you desire in life? What are your passions? What do you give your energy and actions to? Those are the things that will determine the course of your life. And that's why you need to think thoughts that glorify God. You need to submit your will to God's will. You need to make your desires secondary to His and realize that in giving yourself to His pleasure, you will find the truest pleasure. If you delight in Him, He will delight in you and He will give you the desires of your heart. When your will becomes His, you will have found the secret to joy in life. And that's why we've got to guard our hearts. Take a look at your thought life, what you desire and live for, the direction your life is headed in. Is it godly? Is it eternal in its direction? Because you've got to guard your heart, because the issues of your life will flow out of it. And if your heart is not oriented towards God, your feet will be pointed in the wrong direction. You see, the legitimacy of our actions begins with the integrity of our hearts.
Some real wisdom to keep at the forefront of our minds. You're listening to Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy and a message titled, A Step in the Right Direction. Well, here at Know the Truth, our goal is to share the gospel with a world in need of truth, and we do so by broadcasting biblical messages like the one you heard today. And Philip, we wouldn't be able to do it without like-minded believers like those listening right now who contribute to our ministry.
That's right, Wayne. We can't do ministry without our listening friends. John Wooden, the famous basketball coach at UCLA, said that it takes 10 hands to make a basket. Basketball is teamwork. Life is teamwork. Ministry is teamwork. In fact, Know the Truth is completely listener-supported, and we need men and women to link arms with us to help us deliver God's word on the radio and on the web. And one of the best ways they can do that is to make a monthly and recurring donation. And at this time, we need more friends than ever to give monthly so that we have a firm foundation for preaching and teaching God's word that so many have come to depend on from Know the Truth. So I want to say it's easy to sign up and make a recurring donation so that you can, in effect, set it and forget it. You can sign up to be a truth ambassador when you visit ktt.org or call us at 888-644-8811. Don't delay. Set your monthly gift at $25, $50, or even $100. We will be forever grateful, and so will be the souls that are touched through this ministry. And let me say this, as a truth ambassador, you'll get a welcome package that will include some books that I have written. On a monthly basis, we select certain resources for you that you will also receive. And you'll also receive our Accord newsletter that will keep you up to date on this ministry. But you know what? Best of all, you'll have the joy of partnering with us in changing lives eternally. Sign up today.
And I can tell you how you can get in touch with your gift today. You can call 888-644-8811 or give online at ktt.org. When you do, we'll send you a resource that will give you a firsthand account on how to trust God when circumstances tell you not to. It's titled God versus Government, and this book follows two brave churches and their decisions to remain open during the pandemic despite government orders to close. This book will give believers biblical insight on what it looks like to take a courageous stand in the face of opposition. And you can request yours with a gift of any amount by calling 888-644-8811 or give online at ktt.org. And if you'd prefer to write, send it to Know the Truth, Post Office Box 30250, Anaheim Hills, California, 92809. And then there's another resource we'd like you to have, and this one's free. If you're new to Know the Truth or have never contacted us before, it's titled 7 Days of Truth, Resting in God's Daily Sufficiency. Learn more about it at ktt.org. And one more thing before you go, you can be sure to stay up to date on upcoming events, ministry announcements, fellowship opportunities, and more when you look for us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just search for Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy. Well, I'm your host, Wayne Shepherd. Join us again tomorrow when Philip DeCourcy continues today's message titled, A Step in the Right Direction. That's Wednesday on Know the Truth. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Know the Truth Incorporated. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."